Blog Talk Radio.
That you know this, obviously. Looks like it's hopefully we won't lose power. I was like last Thursday when we had the business meeting, you know, it stormed, but I didn't really know how bad it had really stormed here. I didn't look at the news or anything, but most of the city was, you know, without power. Thank God that, you know, we didn't lose power and that, you know, we didn't lose internet or anything like that. So the monsoons have just been kind of overly active this year. I haven't seen a monsoon season this busy in a lot of years. Nevertheless, good and greatly to be praised. So we will go over the foundations of discipleship on this evening first, and then we will do jump into this lesson, the importance of water baptism. And this is still, you know, it's a three-part lesson, or it's more than three lessons, but we had part one, lesson number one, Yah's plan of salvation, and then lesson number two, which is really lesson number three, but I did it second, was the Holy Spirit. And the third part of this Yah's plan of salvation is water baptism, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So we have to cover both of those aspects of salvation. On this night, we'll be talking about the importance of water baptism, because a lot of places teach you don't even have to be baptized, or baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. But it is so much more. And so every new saint needs to understand what water baptism is all about. All right, that being said, I want to greet those that are in Pal Talk, those that are in Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general, whether you are in North America or whether you are in South America, whether you're on the internet in general, wherever you may be, the African continent, the Middle East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We welcome you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Amen. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8, and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We give you glory and honor on today, Father. We honor you. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Yah, for being so good to us and for blessing us and providing for us and protecting us. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. You are Elohim from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from sun up to sun down. Hallelujah. You are Elohim. You are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And we just want to thank you on today. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this evening, we're going to do, let's just do John 14 and 15 for this evening. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. All right. We're going to go over the foundation of discipleship. This is critical for every newcomer, every saint to know, understanding that what the scriptures say concerning themselves. So a disciple, in the simplest term, a disciple is simply a student, one that places himself up under the discipline and the teaching, trying to follow the discipline, the teaching, the life, and the aim of trying to become like someone else. So in martial arts, you know, they always call it, you know, the teacher would always call their students their disciples. And the students were trying to become like their what? Teacher. In the scriptures, we are trying to become like Messiah, like Christ. And that is what it, you know, means to be a disciple. To study to become like Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Messiah tells us what it takes to be his disciple, and he tells us how the masses will react to what he has to say. And he's speaking to the masses in parables. He's not speaking to them straight out or clearly. And so, and we're going to read what he says concerning this, because his disciples came to him. His students came to him and said, why? Why do you speak to them in parables? Why don't you just tell them what you want them to know clearly? So let's see what Messiah says. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Let's get verse 9, starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So everybody's got ears, but what he's saying, he who can understand, let him understand. You can hear these words and not what? Understand what you're hearing. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, the masses, it is not given. To everybody that Messiah was speaking to, that he was teaching on the Mount of Olives or, you know, on top of a mountain, it wasn't given to them to understand. It's only given to certain ones. Verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. See, when we don't seek the Most High with our whole heart, and we read the scripture, and we think we have some understanding, but we don't pursue him, then he even takes away what we have, what understanding we have of him that he gives us. Oh, you don't really want me, so I'm not going to waste this on you. In other words, he tells us not to cast our pearls before who? Swine. Don't cast your pearls before somebody that don't really want to know. Don't share this with them. But he says, even himself, he doesn't give the understanding to everyone. So those that he gives a little bit of understanding to, if they don't really pursue him, he will take that which they have from them. And they'll think that they are understanding stuff, but they are really walking in confusion. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables. See not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For in them,
is now in the conference.
Can I be mute so we don't get this echo? All right. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now he's talking about the people who were around him at the time. But this also goes on for future generations, the written word, okay? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. So a lot of people today hear the scriptures, they see things, but they don't really understand what's going on, and they don't know why they don't understand. They just know, hey, some of this don't make sense to me. And even when they seek it out, because they're not seeking with the right intent in their heart, Most High doesn't show it to them. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears and hear with, they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But a lot of people don't want to be converted, and they think that they can read the scriptures and just get a certain understanding, but you won't really understand the scriptures unless you are looking to be converted, unless you're looking to find the Most High and find his salvation and to hear his voice. 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. When you come to the Most High with the right heart, and you really truly want to believe and understand, then he will bless your eyes, and he will bless your ears, and he will open your understanding. He's the one that has to do it. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. Even the prophets, there were some things that was not given to them to understand. And righteous men, there were some things that were not given to them to understand. They desired to know it. They desired to understand it, but the Most High didn't give it to them. So if you can hear these things and understand them, then blessed are you. And know that you're blessed, because everybody cannot receive this. So foundations of discipleship, rule number one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And if you don't have a Bible, just write these down so you can read them for yourself. I never want anybody to say, Brother Miles said. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. It's got to be the first thing in every person's mind and heart. To seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Not our own righteousness. Not what we think is right. But what he says is right. He says, and all these other things will be added unto you. But your first thing in your heart has to be to seek the kingdom of Elohim, kingdom of God, and his righteousness. That'd be the main reason, you know, your main focus. Go to Matthew chapter 13, foundation rule number two. Matthew chapter 13, let's get verse 44. We're going to start in verse 44. And the Messiah is describing the kingdom. He's using a parable to describe the kingdom, but telling us, you know, what our heart has to be. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides. So imagine yourself walking through a field, and here's this treasure, big treasure chest of gold. You just happen upon it, and you hide it. Because you don't want nobody else to find it and claim it. And for joy thereof, go and sell all that he has and buys that field. Now, you know, in order for you to get this treasure out of this field, you need to own the field. So it says your heart has to be that the kingdom of heaven is so valuable to you that you would sell all that you have to obtain it. our heart has to be toward the Most High in His kingdom. It's got to be so valuable to us that nothing we have is more valuable than obtaining the kingdom. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, sold all that he had and bought it. Reiterating again, you got to value the kingdom so much that it's worth everything that you have to get it. Go to verse 40. Let's go down to Psalms 119:2. So you got to value the kingdom. You got to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's got to be the standard. And second, the kingdom has to be the most valuable thing in your life. Getting into the kingdom has to be the most valuable thing, most important thing. Psalms 119:2, third foundation for discipleship. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and they that seek Him with the whole heart. You got to seek the Most High, Elohim, and His Messiah with your whole heart. You got to seek the kingdom with your whole heart. It can't be a piece of you. You can't be divided. You can't be doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The Most High can't come second or third. He has to be first. First. Got to be your mentality. You got to seek Him with your whole heart. Drop down to verse 34. Psalms 119:34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. So when you have understanding, you understand that you have to keep the laws of the Most High. His law, whatever He has had written, His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances. You have to obey His voice, His judgment. You have to obey them. When you have understanding, then you understand that's what you have to do. And I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, you're going to keep His law, His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances, His judgment, with your whole heart, not a piece of you, with your whole heart. You got to put everything you are into it to make sure that you walk upright before Him, that you meet His standards. The Most High is not going to come down to our standards. We have to go up to His. Jeremiah chapter 24. So observe His laws with your whole heart. Seek Him with your whole heart. Make sure He's the most important thing in your life. That there's nothing more valuable than getting into His kingdom in your heart. Jeremiah chapter 24:7. And I will give them a heart to know me. You got to have a heart to know the Most High. I don't mean you got to have a heart pumping in your chest. I mean, you got to want to know Him. Genuinely want to know Him. That I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God or their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So again, still speaking of, you got to want to know Him with your whole heart. You got to desire Him with your whole heart. You got to want to obey Him with your whole heart. Fourth tenet. Go to Luke chapter 14. Book of Luke chapter 14. And let's start with verse 26. The book of Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is Messiah talking. And he says specifically, if you love anybody more than you love Him, even your own self, you cannot be His disciple. You cannot be a follower of him. And if you're not a follower of him, then you don't get to reap the benefits of salvation. You got to want to follow him with your whole heart. You can't love nobody else, not even yourself, more than you love him. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I want y'all to underline that in verse 26 and 27. Cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to do these things, you cannot be his disciple. So if you're not, if you're going to love somebody more than you love him, you can't be his disciple. Even your own self, you can't be his disciple. And if you are not willing to do what it takes to follow him, you cannot be his disciple. Didn't say he's going to make you a bad disciple. Said you cannot be. Verse 28. You got to consider the cost. The Most High don't want you coming into this thing blind. He wants you to consider the cost. What is it going to take for me to worship Messiah? What is it going to take for me to follow him with my whole heart? What is it going to take for me to serve and keep the laws with my whole heart? What is it going to take for me to search out the kingdom first and God and his righteousness? What is that going to take? What is that going to cost me? He already told us your whole heart. And he's got to be the most valuable thing. Now he's saying, hey, you can't be nobody in your life more important than him, not even your own self. Now, for which of you, verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You need to sit down and consider whether you have what it takes, whether you're willing to pay the cost, serving him. Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. And all that behold it began to mock him. Oh, yeah, you said you went to Messiah. You said you became a follower of Messiah, and now I see you back out here in these streets. I see you doing the same old things you used to do. Some of the things you never even stopped doing. Because did you consider the cost? You started, and a lot of times people start with zeal. They're excited. I found Jesus. And, you know, they get a little, they got some excitement, but they don't really have the will to do everything that it's going to take. They don't have the will to give their all. And so they want to try to piecemeal a salvation that the Most High hasn't offered. He's telling us if you want to belong to him, it's going to take your all, your whole heart. It's got to be the most important thing to you in your life. Your possessions can't be more important. If you had to sell all your possessions to get into his kingdom, to obtain his kingdom, then you should be willing to sell everything you have to get into his kingdom. So people don't say to you, they see you and you know, you're all excited. You're talking to them about Jesus and how, and what he's done for you. And then 2 months later, they see you and you know, you're back doing what you used to do. Yeah, I thought I met him. I thought that I knew what I was getting into. Man, I didn't know he wanted everything I got. I want to go to heaven. I want to get into his kingdom, but I don't want to have to do all that. And the more possessions that we have, the harder that it is. So you can say this to a poor person that don't feel like they have, you know, they're getting by day to day. And it would seem like, hey, they don't have a whole lot to give up. And you got that rich person or that person with many possessions. has spent their life collecting things, then in their heart, they're like, I don't think I can give up all this. But the Messiah is telling you, if you're not willing to give up everything that you have, you're not willing to consider the cost, if you're not going to make him number one, you cannot be his disciple. So you got to consider the cost. What is it going to take me to do this? Am I willing to do that? Because a lot of people don't ever really consider the cost, but they know deep down inside they're not really willing to give their all. I give so much. And what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about just monetary. I'm talking about of you, your time, your energy, your money, your whatever. Because I got to be the most important thing. Let's drop down to verse 33. We don't have to worry about the king not considering, you know, this is going to be a war you're going into. Yeah, let's read that. I'll go ahead and explain those verses. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king? You got to know that when you come to Messiah, you are defecting from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Most High. Okay? So you're going to war. And you got to consider if you can win this war. What king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? So you go on to war and the enemy got twice as much as you. Are you going to be able to win? You got to consider the cost. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador or an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. Now, we don't want to make peace with the devil, but we sure want to be at peace with the Most High. And if you are coming out of the devil's kingdom, out of Satan's realm, you need an ambassador to make peace with you, to make peace for you with the Most High. You don't want to go to battle with the Most High, because you can't win that battle. But from a natural standpoint, if you are going to war, you need to consider whether you can win the war. Why are you going to start a fight that you know you can't win? And you're fighting to the death. So you're either willing to fight to the death for the kingdom, or you're not. You got to consider the cost. Verse 33, and underline in this verse, the last of this verse. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, if you put in all your strength into the things of this world, and you're not ready to forsake the things of this world for the kingdom of the Most High, he cannot be my disciple. Again, he didn't say it's going to make you a poor disciple. He says you don't have what it takes. Your heart is not right. You desire the things of this world more than you desire my kingdom. Then he says you cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. You might like some of the things that I say. You might not like some of the things that I say. But you are definitely not trying to become like me. And so those are our tenets of, or our foundations of discipleship. One, seek Yah and his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of Yah first and his righteousness. Number two, the kingdom must be the most valuable thing in your life. Number three, you must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Number four, you cannot love anyone, even your own self, more than you love Messiah. Number five, you must consider the cost. What is it going to take me to do this? Am I willing to pay that price? Number six, you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah. Everything. Got to be the most important thing. All right, those are our foundations of discipleship. Let's go ahead and move into this lesson for this day, which is the importance of water baptism. Because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, going down in the water is just an act that you do to show that you have accepted Messiah, that you've had a change of heart, that you realize that you're a sinner. But it has both a physical and a spiritual component to it. And we as newcomers to, you know, to the body of Messiah or hearers of the word, we have to understand why it is important to be water baptized and in whose name you need to be baptized in. Yeshua himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can read that in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and 16. Chapter 16, verse 16. Yahushua also said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Is it simply saying baptized in their authority? No, we'll find that there is a name that you must be baptized. The commandment to go and for the believers, those who have been converted, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the commandment is to go and to baptize and to teach all nations. This gospel and about coming into this new covenant, Yah's plan for salvation includes faith or belief in HaMashiach and repentance of sin, baptized in Yahushua's name. You can read that in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. So let's do this. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. So I never, you know, like to just quote the verse. Have you to read it for yourself. Mark 16, and let's get verse 16. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, this believing is not just a matter of believing that Messiah came and died for your sins. You can believe that, and if you don't act upon it, if you don't do what the scriptures say to do, you are going to be damned. Because if you don't do what it says to do, you don't really believe what it says. You don't really believe that you had to do it. So if you don't do it, you're going to be damned. That's damned to the lake of fire. Okay. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. The book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We got a colon there after the Holy Ghost. And I told you before, there's no difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. It's just a mistranslation of the word. It should be Holy Spirit there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we're commanded to go and teach the nations and to baptize them into this gospel. Now with the church, I will say this at this point. What the church has done is they have not taught the people to obey the laws of the Most High. They've not been given the understanding that Messiah didn't come and save them from their sin, which was the transgression or not keeping of the laws of the Most High, to turn around and say, oh, you know, we were just playing about that stuff. You didn't really have to keep it. So I'm going to come and be baptized. I'm going to come and you can be baptized in me, and you ain't got to keep none of that stuff. Not what he was saying. Not what he came to do. If that was the case, he could have just said, hey, I ain't got to go up on this cross and pay this price and shed my blood. Y'all ain't got to keep none of this stuff. Just love one another, and it's cool. That's not what is not what he taught. That's not why he came. Okay? He came because men transgressed. They broke the laws of the Most High. That transgression was called sin. And because man had transgressed the laws of the Most High required the blood of a man, not the blood of a bull or a goat. So let's pause here. Put a, you know, put your thing on pause, and let me give a little background here. When man sinned in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Most High killed something and made clothes for them. But that animal and that blood that was shed sort of covered their sin. But it didn't pay for it in full. And the Most High knew that he was going to have to come, send a man, let's put it this way, he's going to require the blood of a man. Now, if there's only two individuals in the world and both of them have sinned, nobody can pay this price. So before Adam took of that apple or that fig and ate it from Eve, he could have paid the price for her. But he chose to sin. So let's go over this concept for a minute. You got Adam and Eve in the garden. Neither one of them have sinned at this point. Let's say that. Okay, they haven't been disobedient. Eve gets seduced by the snake, and she sins. Adam couldn't die. And before Eve sinned, she couldn't die. So Adam could have theoretically shed his blood and paid the price for Eve because he was eternal. He couldn't die. And the only way death was able to claim Adam, because he became disobedient, he became a sinner. Now death had the authority to claim him, just as it did with Eve. So the Most High had to shed the blood of an animal to hold this off. But he said, you know what? I need to be able to reconcile this man and this woman to me. And the blood of a bull or a goat or a sheep is not equal to the man. I gave the man and the woman dominion over the earth and over everything in the earth. There is nothing in the earth equal to the man or the woman. Technically speaking, they were the gods of this world. Everything was supposed to be in subjection to them. But they sinned. And so the Most High says, you know, I need something of equal value or greater to dead off. But there was no man that was going to be born out of sin, without sin. And so the Most High had to make a special plan. I need to take the man out of the picture, and I'm just going to use the woman, because as we know, the sex act itself is an unclean act in the eyes of the Most High, and it is sin. So if I'm going to have a man come into the world that's able to pay the price, then I'm going to have to take the man out of the picture. I'm going to have to take the sex act out of the picture, so that I can have a child that is born outside of sin. So we have to wait for Messiah to come. And we know that Messiah is the Most High in flesh. So I'm going to cause myself to be born through the womb of a woman. I'm going to enter into the world the only legal way after I made Adam and Eve. The only legal way into this world as a being to come and live in this world is through the womb. I don't care whether it's a man or a woman. Let me not say that way. I don't care if it's human beings or whether it's animals. The only legal way into this world was through the womb of the female entity, the female animal in the world. That would be the woman in mankind. So he had to come in through the world through the womb. in order that he could pay the price for man. That is the Immaculate Conception. Now, without this, we have no atonement for sin. None. So Israel was going through this ritual every year. The way the sanctuary worked was this. Because Messiah had not come, when a man would sin ignorantly, the Most High says, you can bring a sacrifice for you. So you sin ignorantly. That means you didn't know that you were breaking the law. But the day you found out that you broke the law, then you were supposed to confess that you were a sinner. And then you turned away from that sin and you went and brought one of the sacrificial animals that he ordained to be used for a sacrifice. And he said the priest should make an atonement for you. But if you willfully sin, even in those days, if you intentionally sin, there was no sacrifice that you could bring. You couldn't just go get an animal and kill it and say, I'm killing this animal because I know I sinned. I knew it before I did it. I'm going to kill this animal and sacrifice it to cover my sins. The Most High said, uh-uh. Since your sin shall remain upon you. You can't bring a sacrifice for that because you were willfully disobedient. So that's the way he has always done it. Now we come into the New Testament. Messiah has come. He has been sacrificed and he paid the price. He says, now that I've come and this debt can be totally wiped out. The animals were to cover, and we had to do that every year. So you understand that the sanctuary, every time they would bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, that the sin was transferred to the animal, and then the animal's blood was sprinkled on the altar, and that sin was to wear it. It had been covered by that animal, and you could go on as, you know, like you were sinless, or you had been, not, I can't say sinless, that sin had been paid for, but that sin wasn't paid for until the Day of Atonement. So all these people sinning, they're ignorantly sinning, they're sacrificing animals, they're bringing their sacrifices, the priest puts his hand on the animal, the person who sinned put their hand on the head of the animal is killed, the sin is transferred to the animal, in their blood, that blood is sprinkled on the altar. That sin is stored up in the sanctuary until the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, then the high priest would go in and sacrifice one animal for everybody that was qualified for the sacrifice. Meaning they had brought an animal and their sins were in the sanctuary. And they were qualified because they had sinned ignorantly. Anybody who had sinned willfully wasn't allowed to bring a sacrifice. And typically, they were judged for their sin and they were killed. So if you committed an act that was that required death, and 99% of all sin, the death penalty, it's not a slap on the wrist and you go to 10 Hail Marys or some penance. No, the law required your life. And so they would judge them right then. And he said, do it quickly and do it without what? Mercy. So they would be killed right then, as soon as they were found guilty. And they couldn't bring a sacrifice for willful sin. It was only for ignorant sin. Now Messiah comes. And the gospel is, whether you have ignorantly sinned or you have willfully sinned, this is your one chance to make it right with God, to make it right with him, So everything that you've ever done, whether it was willful or ignorant, you can bring it to Messiah that one time. And your slate is wiped clean. But then you start over. And when you discover something that you have been doing wrong, you didn't know it was wrong, you discover, hey, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. You confess it, and he says he is true and just to forgive you because you did it ignorantly. But if it was willful, it's the same way as if it was when it was under Torah. You couldn't put that up under the blood of Christ, up under the blood of Messiah. What? All right, let me text this person, tell them to call back in. All right, let's continue here. So we have to understand that we must let new individuals that are coming to Messiah, and even some old individuals who have been taught in error in this matter, that you don't just use baptism, because I know people talking about, I want to be rebaptized. I want to do this over. I say, you know, how were you baptized to begin with? And the only way that I recommend that they get rebaptized is that they were baptized wrong to begin with. Okay, if they were baptized wrong. If they were baptized right, and they have been choosing to, you know, willfully sin, and then they all of a sudden become convicted because they realize that, hey, I've been sinning against Messiah. And they're trying to get rebaptized to get from under that? No. Can't do that. You need to get on your face and repent and ask the Most High not to impute that sin against you. You don't get rebaptized and say, oh, this is going to wipe out that, because you couldn't bring, you were willfully sinful. You can't get rebaptized for that. For willful sin, and it's a terrible place to be in. And whether somebody taught us wrong or whether we had an understanding and we chose to do it anyway, doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is you just need to recognize that is your situation and go before the Most High and ask him, to, like David, please don't impute this sin against me. And you won't know whether he has not imputed it against you until you go before the judgment throne. But you should live your life and not commit that sin anymore and live as pure and holy life as you can from that day forward and not try to use Messiah, as I said, like a sin ATM. And I know for a fact 98 or 99% of all people are guilty of it, including myself. But he had to show me, no, you can't do that. So when we are talking about water baptism, get baptized, and then go raise hell and say, oh, I'm going to go get rebaptized again to wash all that out. No, it doesn't work that way. That's why people were using the Day of Atonement the same way. The Day of Atonement doesn't work that way. If your sin was willful all during the year, if it was willful, you wouldn't have been authorized. You wouldn't have had no blood in the sanctuary for the Day of Atonement because you wouldn't have been allowed to bring a sacrifice for willful sin. So when the nation did atonement, the atonement was only for those people who were qualified for atonement. Technically speaking, all the other people were supposed to be dead. Because as soon as they were found to be guilty, the law required the judgment and the execution to come. Now, if under Messiah, he simply says, there remaineth no more blood. If you willfully sin after you have come into the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more blood. You can't put that up under this blood. And I'm not going back up on that cross and dying for you again either. And if we find ourselves in that situation, then we need to really be repentant and say, I was foolish, I didn't know, whatever the case may be. I was disobedient, I didn't understand the ramifications of this. Please, I repent, I truly repent, and I will not do this anymore. I will not use you like this anymore. I will not disgrace you like this anymore. And turn away from it and ask him not to impute it against you. So this is what we are dealing with today. So in the importance of water baptism, it's a one-time thing. You don't go get baptized. Really, like I said, the only way that I recommend people get baptized a second time is that they were not baptized correctly the first time. That's the only time that I will say, yeah. If you're feeling guilty and you've been convicted and I want to start all over again, so I'm going to be rebaptized, you will not find that, and it's not authorized. It's an abuse. So because we didn't understand how the sanctuary worked, there's no way that we could truly understand how salvation in Messiah works. That's why you never hear any church preaching or teaching this for a sin ATM. Every time they sin, go get some forgiveness, do a good work, make a deposit, I go sin again, make a withdrawal. No, it don't work that way. And we have got to come out of that mindset, that paradigm, because it doesn't work that way. So we're going to look at, in Yah's plan of salvation, how the thing actually works and what the water represents. But I wanted you to have an overview of the system so that when we're reading this stuff, that you can kind of get more details, okay? Get more of the details as to how this works. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. 4 and verse 7, 47, I'm sorry. And the word of the Most High reads, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in Messiah's name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this is the purpose of the church. This was the purpose of Israel. So let me say something right here. When all this stuff is being done and these commandments are being given and these directions are being given, there were no Gentiles in the church. This is all Israel. And it is not until the Gentiles got a hold of this that it became corrupted, that they start putting their own spin on it. There's There were no church fathers that were Gentiles. So we got to understand these original instructions came to Israel. Okay? The remission of sin. Repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We did the Spirit first on last week. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. We in and of ourselves can do nothing. We are nothing without the Spirit of the Most High. We don't heal people. We don't perform miracles, tongues. That's what a lot of people don't realize. It's not you speaking in tongues. He's using your body, but it's really the Most High speaking through you by his Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is part of his plan of salvation, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. You're not going to do this thing on your own. Go to 2 and 38, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. After the Holy Spirit had been released and put on the disciples, actually this is verse 37 and 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. And they start explaining to the masses what's going on, and they heard the gospel. Then they asked, now when they heard this, when they heard how Messiah came and died for their sins, they heard the gospel, they said, and they were pricked in their hearts. Their hearts were more than just deeply touched. Pricked doesn't mean that their heart was, you know, they were lightly touched in their heart. It means like their heart burst. They were that convicted that, you know, their heart burst. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed Messiah. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus of Christ. Why? For the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Spirit. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. Your heart has to be right with the Most High for him to give you his Spirit. It's a gift. So you can't say, well, I'll do so many works and the Most High will give me his Spirit. You can't say, well, I'll pay a certain price and the Most High will give me his Spirit. You can't say, oh, well, I'll be baptized and the Most High will give me his Spirit. You have to want his Spirit, number one, and you got to want him with your whole heart, number two. And you don't have to be baptized first. But you do have to be baptized in water. Okay? Don't have to be first. Okay, we must note that Yahushua, or Jesus, expressly commanded water baptism, not just as a ceremony or a mere outward manifestation of an inward event, but as an integral part of Yah's plan for us. This is part of his plan of salvation. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Can't do half of it. Okay. Did not Yeshua himself accept baptism? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, this is for any person, you know, if somebody comes to you and say, oh, it ain't necessary to be baptized. If you following Messiah, if you following Jesus, he did it, you got to do it. Because you're supposed to be coming like him. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Then comes Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Why did he come to John? To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. Comest thou to me? Why are you coming to me? I need to be baptized by you. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Go ahead, dude. It's okay. Let's let it be this way for now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. This is the right thing to do. I'm going to require everybody to enter into my kingdom, to be baptized into my kingdom. I got to start with myself. I'm not going to put something on you that I don't require of myself. Suffered him. Or then John did it. He baptized him. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. John didn't sprinkle him. Didn't say, oh, let me dip my hand in this water, sprinkle it in your face. He submerged him. Because the water represents the grave in Yah's plan of salvation. It represents the grave. Now, Messiah was sinless. He didn't have to die to any sin. But you and I, when we come to him, that's why we have to confess our sins first. Then that old man, that old person is supposed to die. You don't bury anything that is alive. That old you is supposed to die. Then you get baptized or buried in Messiah. When he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, this sign was for John. This was to tell John that this is the Messiah. Even though he already knew that, but the dove descending upon him was the sign that he was supposed to see to announce him to the world. Let's keep going. By this act of obedience, one, we recognize that we are sinners and are transgressors of his law. That sinner is. So go in your Bible to 1 John. First John chapter 3 and verse 4. First John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the sin of the law. The Most High didn't throw away all his laws. Christ didn't do away with any of the laws. He says, now I'm going to make a change to the contract. But I'm not changing my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments. I'm not changing that. The new covenant is I'm going to write them in your heart. I'm not going to have them on these tablets of stone anymore, these clay tablets. I'm going to write them in your heart. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to start in verse 31. To see what this new covenant is all about, this new contract. Because I don't know how the church will tell somebody that they're not up under the laws of the Most High. But let's see what the new covenant is, so that you don't have any kind of question concerning that. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, the Gentile nations are being included in this same covenant, the covenant that he's making with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's not a different covenant for the Gentiles. It's not a different contract for the Gentiles. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, which the contract with me they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. Israel and the Most High were married, and this was a marriage contract. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their heart. That's what he's going to do with his law. I'm not erasing my law. I'm not canceling out my laws, my statutes, my commandments, my judgments. I'm going to write them in their heart, in their inward part, and will be their God or their Elohim, and they shall be my people. The people of the Most High have to obey his laws, have to obey his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, must obey them. Because now I'm going to put them in your heart. Okay. That is the new covenant. Now I'm going to do away with my law. Messiah is going to come and die for your sins, for you transgressing my laws. For me to cancel them out and say, oh, I didn't ever really mean for you to have to do those. Y'all won't do them, so I'm just going to say you don't got to do them. No. That's nonsense. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. The book of Hebrews chapter 8. Now I'm going to make a better contract. We'll make a better contract with you. Okay? Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 6. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant or a better contract, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant or the first contract had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. What was the problem with the first one? It was the people. It wasn't the law that was the problem. It was the people. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, the people, he said, behold, the day is coming, saith God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So he's not changing anything from the old to the new. Because they continued not in my covenant. They didn't continue in my contract. And I regarded them not, saith Yah. Verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. So I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm not doing away with them. I'm going to make some better promises in this new contract than were in the old. The promises are upgraded, but he didn't do away with his laws. He didn't do away with his statutes, his commandments, or his ordinances, because I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind. And when you obey them, I will be your God and you will be my people. If you disobey him, you're not his people. And he is not your God. Let's continue. So we know, one, by being baptized, we recognize that we are sinners and are transgressors of his laws that he didn't get rid of. We turn away from all our sinful ways. We turn away from all our transgressions and die to them, coming into the blood of the covenant relationship with him. In other words, I was a sinner, and I used to break your laws, Most High, but I don't break them anymore. And I'm in this covenant relationship, this contract with you. And you take an oath to God that we will not willfully transgress his laws again. So even what you don't know, when you confess, you're confessing things that you know are wrong. And you are saying that I will not willfully transgress or break those laws again. That's what you're saying when you come to him. These things I know were wrong. I confess them. I'm asking your forgiveness for them. And then we should be asking him, now please show me whatever else that I'm doing that's transgressing your law, so I can repent for those too. He says, now, if you didn't do that, you got some things you were ignorant of. If when you learn that these things are a transgression of my law, if you will confess it, that you have transgressed, and it was ignorantly, I am truthful and just to forgive you. But don't go back and do it again, because now you know it's wrong. Okay. So, second tenet again. We turn away from all our sinful ways and die to them, coming into the blood covenant relationship, taking an oath to Yah that we will not willfully transgress his laws again. We make ourselves one with HaMashiach in his burial. That's what this baptism in water is all about. We make ourselves one with HaMashiach in his burial and in his resurrection. So we go down in the water, just as Messiah went down in the water. We come up out of the water. That old man, that old us, is supposed to be dead. We're a new creature coming up out of the water. And just as, you know, and the only difference is we still may see death, physical death in this life. But we believe that the Most High is going to rest again on this earth when he returns. So we are buried with HaMashiach in his burial and in his resurrection, those two acts. We are separated from the old life of sin and defeat. We bury that old person. I'm a new creature. I don't do the same old things I used to do. And when we come out of the water sinless, all of our past sins washed away to lead a new life of righteousness and victory. So we got to let people know, hey, this is what you're getting into. And this is, if you slip and fall, that's one thing. And you confess it. And what do you mean by slip? We're not talking about, oh, I slipped and did a sin I know was wrong. Because he tells you there is no blood for that. It's not the type of slip that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you slipped something you didn't know was wrong. But the day you learned of it, you repented. And you turned away from it. You can bring that, just like in Torah. You could bring that and get forgiveness. Okay? That's why relationships are very important in the eyes of the Most High. They have to be done according to His order, not according to ours. All of this was made possible by Yah. Said, you know what? This is just a bad bunch. All mankind, this is just a bad bunch. I'm going to destroy it all and start over. But he didn't do that. So to be sure, faith in HaMashiach does save us from our sins. But do not pit his commandments to have faith on one hand against the commandments to be baptized in water on the other. Let both live in harmony as HaMashiach intended in accordance with Yah's eternal plan. Do not consider yourself complete in HaMashiach until you have been baptized in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. So now let's start getting into, that's the overall plan. And that's the overall lesson of why of water baptism in Yah's plan. It was to cleanse us from our sin. Why was Yahushua baptized? Now, we read this in Matthew chapter 3. And Yahushua answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Everybody coming into the kingdom must be water baptized to get into the kingdom, to be baptized into Messiah. And he says, I got to be the first. I'm the king. I'm opening up the kingdom. I require you to do it. I got to do it. Even though I'm sinless, you being a sinner definitely have to do it. How did Yah show his approval of HaMashiach's baptism? Again, the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I think I got 15 and 16 rather than 16 and 17. So let me look this up. Wrote down one thing and then copied another. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We can get 15 through 17. We've already read 15. Read 16 and 17. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Most High showed by his voice, now the people have to find that. A lot of the people that were standing around, they heard thunder. That's what they heard. And the people who was given to understand, they heard the voice, like John. Okay. But he was pleased in that Messiah was baptized. Pleased if Messiah got baptized. Do you think he's going to be pleased if you get baptized? The answer to that would be yes. Was Yeshua actually submerged in the water when baptized? Verse 16. And you can key on the word. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So he was down in the water. He came up out of the water. He was submerged. Okay. So the answer to that question would be yes. He was submerged. He wasn't sprinkled or anything like that. What did Yeshua tell his disciples about salvation as recorded in the Gospel? 28 verse 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he told them to go and to baptize in his name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, again, what I tell most people who will follow this formula of baptism, that in the name of the Father. That means that if you don't know, you need to find out what the name of the Father is. In the name of the Son. If you don't, well, we know who the name of the Son is. And of the Holy Ghost. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? But when you really go search this thing out, and if you look in the scriptures, the only name that they ever baptized in was in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I come in my Father's name. Truth of the matter is, Father in flesh. Came in his own name. The name we got to be baptized. So if you were baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost, if that was the formula used on you, you need to go back and be rebaptized. Because you have not been baptized into his name. Names are important. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Yeshua answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, verily, verily, or seriously, seriously, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. So just like he said, hey, if you're not willing to give your all for me, you can't be my disciple. If you are not baptized, born of the water and born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. You don't qualify. It's important that we have done both. And as for me, myself, I ask the Most High, let me have it just like you gave it to the apostles, because I want to know that I know that I know. I don't want nobody telling me, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. I want to have the same sign that they had in the book of Acts when they received. I don't want nobody telling me, oh, yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. You don't hear that in the scriptures. You don't see that in the scriptures. Saying, oh, yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. You'll see Peter saying, oh, yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. They didn't even believe some people had the Holy Ghost. They had to be given a sign, something that they could believe. Each and every one of us, and if I were you, I would want the Most High to give me that sign so that I know that I know. Don't let nobody tell you. Let the Most High be the witness in your life. After receiving the Holy Spirit, as promised by HaMashiach, the apostles were enabled to carry out his commands regarding salvation. So, question A. After many of the people heard Peter's message during the Feast of Pentecost, they asked, brethren, what shall we do to be saved? What did Peter tell them to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Did he say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the name of Jesus the Christ in your Bible, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So right there, he's telling you in what name to be baptized. What is the was the promise to them and to the future generation? Acts 2 and 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. He's not talking about in a far land in the States. This is actually a reference to time. Even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. In order for you to come into this, Yah has to call you. Then Yah has to choose you. So he calls you, he lets you hear the gospel, he looks at your reaction, sees what the reaction of your heart is, and then he chooses whether he's going to choose you or not. He may want you, but you don't do what you're supposed to do. You be hard-headed and stiff-necked. So, again, I say to those people out there who are looking for salvation and to enter into the kingdom, the scripture says that many are called, few are chosen. Doing the calling, the Most High Elohim. Who's doing the choosing? Most High Elohim. Make yourself available. We read Jeremiah 31 and 31 through 34, but we'll read it again. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this will be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, it's not saying that he's not going to remember just every piece of sin. The sin that he will, your ignorant sin, he said, I ain't going to remember that no more. Matter of fact, I'm not going to remember your willful sin that one time. After you've come into the knowledge of the truth, go to Hebrews chapter 8. We read this earlier. Again, the question is, what was the promise to them? And to future generations, he's going to write his laws in our hearts and in our minds. Hebrews chapter 8, for finding fault with them, Israel. He says, Behold, the days come, it says, Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says Yah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel for the after these days, saith Yah, I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And I will not, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So I'm going to, he didn't say I was deleting my, he didn't say I was going to cancel out my law. Messiah himself said, you know, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophet. Not what I came here for. What had the people, what did the people do as a result of Peter's command in Acts chapter 2, verse 41? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In what name were the people baptized in? Acts 2:38. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let this word of Christ dwell in you. Let this word of HaMashiach dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or in Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So you were supposed to baptize in his name. Everything we do, we're supposed to do it in his name. What did the people of Samaria do after they heard and believed the good news preached by Philip? Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. How were the Samaritans baptized? Acts chapter 8 and verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. He, the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of Yeshua. What did the eunuch have to do before he could be baptized? Go to the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 37. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 37. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So if you believe this gospel with some of your heart, and if you got doubt, no, if you believe it with your whole heart, then you should get baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of Elohim. What did the eunuch actually do before being baptized? And we should just read the last part of the note. He confessed that he believed that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of Elohim, is the son of Yah. What was the eunuch actually submerged? Was the eunuch actually submerged in water when baptized? Acts chapter 8, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. So Philip didn't sprinkle him with water. After Cornelius and his family had heard Peter's message, we're going to Acts chapter 10 now. After Cornelius and his family had heard Peter's message and believed and had been filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, what did Peter command them to do? Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, Cornelius and his family were Gentiles, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And do we have a reason that we can forbid to baptize these, which have received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as well as we? Do we have a reason to keep from baptizing them? Because Messiah said they got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. These people have received the Holy Spirit before they got baptized. Then, hey, is there any reason that we should not baptize them? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. He didn't suggest they get baptized. He commanded it. Y'all need to get baptized now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Hey, will you stay here and teach us for however many days? So He commanded that they get what? Baptized. How did the Philippian jailer and his family respond to Paul's message? Go to Acts chapter 16, get verses 3. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto Elohim, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Now, these, you know, the apostles have been put in jail, and they've been put under guard, Paul and Silas. And when the guard wakes up, the doors are open, and he thinks everybody has escaped. Paul cried, so when he thought that, supposing that the prisoners had fled, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And this is what every individual has to ask himself: what do I have to do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of Yah. So now, what do you got to do? Believe on Messiah. And then they taught him, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized in all his straightway. So they believed the gospel. They believed that Messiah was the Lamb of the Most High. And they got baptized. Okay, so that is what every person has to do. How did the disciples at Ephesus respond to Paul's message? Go to Acts chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they that should believe on him which should come after him, that is on HaMashiach Yeshua. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of," that should be Yeshua, Yahushua. When we are baptized, how do we share this experience of HaMashiach? Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and 4, and then we will get Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You don't bury live things. So you as a person, that sinful you should have died. And then you're buried with him by baptism into death. That like as HaMashiach was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You come up out of that water, you should be a new creature. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead. So the Most High uses this baptism as a spiritual act that you are dying, the old you is dying spiritually and being reborn. A new creature. If I cover that down here. So hold on. Let me get the verse so we can do that. So you understand how this baptism works. Oh, I just need to learn how to spell or type. Whichever one. We'll get that right now. And we'll come back to this next question. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You come out of that water a new creature. That old you is supposed to be dead. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you go down in the water, you die, the old spirit man, you die, the old sinful man, you die, and you come up out of the water a new creature, come out of the water with a clean slate. And the Most High sees you as he sees Mashiach, as he sees Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay, that's why he says that the Gentiles don't have to be circumcised to get into the kingdom. Because the Most High sees each and every one of us in Messiah as a new creature. From that point, after they learn certain things and they want to come close, then they may be required to be circumcised, depending upon how close they want to come and what they want to keep. Okay? But you're a new creature. That old you, that old spirit man you, died. The new spirit man you comes out of the water with no sin, a clean record. Not to go back and get dirty again. Most High says, I know you're going to fall down and do something that is not lawful. But I don't want you doing anything that you know is not lawful. I don't want you to do it knowledgeably or willfully. And then come back to me and say, I'm sorry. But no. It ain't going to work that way. Realizing that Gentiles were coming in, they didn't know the law. They would do some things that are ignorant. The Israel should have known the law, and they shouldn't be committing any of these sins because they knew the law. But the Gentiles didn't know the law. So they could do some things ignorantly. But when they find out that those things that they are doing are sins, then they're supposed to confess them and turn away from them. And thereby growing in faith and growing in the gospel. Israel was supposed to already know these things. Now, when years have gone by and our identity was taken from us, and we didn't know we were the people of the book. We had to come back to the Most High as Gentiles, ignorant of his laws, his statutes, his commandments. But once we learn these things, then we are accountable. We are accountable once we learn them. And if we refuse to learn them, then we are being willfully disobedient. I don't want to be accountable. I just want to learn them. Oh, well, now you're accountable because you are willfully choosing not to learn. Okay, let's continue. What are the two Torahs that are referred to in the New Testament? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see, we are at 653. Tell you what, we're gonna mark this. We're gonna close this right here, and we will pick it up at question number 7. And we got to go down through. So we'll pick it up next Tuesday. And we got 7, 8, and 9 to do. We'll do those next Tuesday. There's still enough left here. And I can break that up, and we'll pick this up at question number 7. water baptism and why it's important. We'll stop here for this evening. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for your plan of salvation in the water baptism, Father, that you would make a way that we could get credit for death without actually having to physically die, that you would allow us to kill our spirit man off, that old sinful man, and stop sinning, stop willfully sinning before you, and acknowledge about that, and that you wiped our slate clean. And you said that if we ignorantly sin, that you are true and just to forgive us, but you're not putting up with willful disobedience. You have never put up with willful disobedience, and you're not going to start to put up with willful disobedience. You made a way for us to come to Messiah one time with all our willful disobedience and all our ignorant disobedience. And you allowed us to wipe our slate clean. You washed us of our sins. And you made a way for us that if we should sin ignorantly after that, that we still have an advocate, Father. And that you would forgive us our sins that we committed ignorantly, thereby able to keep our record straight, clean with you. So, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your gift of salvation, for the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. That he that has an ear to hear, let them hear. And let them do and obey the Most High Elohim. And Father, for all those who have found themselves being willfully disobedient, and that know better now, Father, I pray and ask that you would forgive them their willful disobedience this one time if they understand and recognize and repent and will not treat Messiah as something unclean. You say when we do that, that's what we do. We disrespect, treat the blood of the covenant as something unholy. Father, many were taught in error. But if they will accept the truth even right now, Father, forgive them their sins. Impute not their sins against them. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we will pick this up in question number 7 on next week. We will finish it up, water baptism on next week. And then the lesson after that, the following week, we will be going into, let me look this up. I believe I changed these around. Give me a hot second here. We will be going into the Word of Yah. Because a lot of people don't believe everything that they read in the Word of Yah. Don't accept it all, you know, like the man was on Sunday and he was asking questions, you know, and it took me a minute to pick up on him, but he really didn't believe that the Bible was authoritative. Was a historical reference and authoritative. He'd rather go get his information from someplace else. I got to go to the library and look it up. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of Yah, according to the Word of Yah, and if you accept the Word of the Most High, His Word is authoritative. And all Scripture is good for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. is authoritative. And so we're going to look at the word of the Most High in the fourth lesson. So that won't be this week coming up. It'll be the week after. And let me look and see what that week is. If I am not up on the land that week, it will be September 6th. But I may be up on the land that week and not be able to teach. If not, we'll just do a lesson on that Wednesday following. Okay. Whenever I return, we'll pick it up there. If we're not able to do it then we'll pick it up sometime during the week, but we will, you know, not skip this lesson. All right. That being said, may the Most High bless you from all hurt and harm, pain and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can only tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim, according to his word. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom and have a blessed rest of your night.
Rain. Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, Sister Denise.